Xi Jinping's big message Tuesday, a strong and united China. This year's parliament gave him the right to be president for life. As the summit closed, Xi talked up the importance of socialism in today's China and made his toughest warnings yet against Taiwan pushing to separate. When it comes to the U.S., his premier Li Keqiang downplayed reports of hefty tariffs from Donald Trump, pledging instead to balance out trade and open up the economy.
It was no secret that Austria's newest airline, Laudamotion, would need help to get off the ground. The surprise was who offered it. Low-cost carrier Ryanair has agreed to buy an initial 24.9% stake in the airline, which was formed out of insolvent carrier Niki, formerly part of Air Berlin.
The world's last male northern white rhino has died, leaving only two females of the subspecies alive. While there are thousands of southern white rhinos still roaming the plains of sub-Saharan Africa, rampant poaching drastically cut the numbers of northern whites. Poachers can sell northern white rhino horns for $50,000 per kilo, making them more valuable than gold or cocaine.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's March 21st, 2018, 5:10 in the morning. We are glad you are here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. A great broadcast in store for you today. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be talking about how baby boomers might actually be impacting the wage data we're seeing from the jobs reports lately. We will talk with Steve Goldstein, the Washington Bureau Chief for MarketWatch, about this data, sort of like a data, how can I describe it for you? It's a little bit of a misnomer that everybody's getting a pay raise these days. Some people are, some people aren't, and retirements from baby boomers might have an impact. Also coming up momentarily, we'll, on this first full day of spring, talk to Dr. John Roden, who is director of National Audubon Society, about bird watching and birds. It's a little something light to get going today. And we're also going to be monitoring the developments from Austin this morning and a full wrap-up of the election throughout the morning. Vic will have all of that in the news and sports and all of the rest of it coming up on the Opening Bell this morning. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing downward this morning toward lower open on Wall Street. Dow futures are off 26 points. NASDAQ futures are off nearly 25 points. Around the rest of the world this morning, markets generally lower in Europe, with the FTSE off nearly 0.5%. The CAC is off almost a third. And in Asia this morning, a mixed market as well. The Nikkei off 99 points, which is about 0.5%. The Hang Seng is off about 0.5%. The Shanghai is off a quarter. And this morning, oil is at $63.42, up $1.36 a barrel. Here's some stories we're watching for you this morning. A British parliamentary committee is summoning Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to answer questions on fake news as authorities step up efforts to determine whether data has been improperly used to influence elections. The request comes amid the reports that a UK company used Facebook data to help the Trump campaign win the 2016 presidential election. The company Cambridge Analytica has been accused of improperly using that information that involves more than 50 million Facebook profiles. It denies wrongdoing, but the firm's board yesterday voted to suspend the CEO, Alexander Nix, pending an independent investigation. Nordstrom says it's ending buyout talks with family members of the company's founder, saying that it couldn't get the group to raise its price. Earlier this month, the department store operator rejected an offer from the Nordstrom family to pay $50 in cash per share in a deal that would have taken the company private. And in San Francisco, supervisors have voted unanimously to ban the sale of fur, becoming the largest U.S. city to approve that prohibition. Front and center this morning, the director of the National Audubon Society, Dr. John Roden, is with us. When you get ready to plant your spring garden, you might want to add the plants that are going to attract birds, native birds with native plants. Dr. Roden, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks.
A lot of people, with the start of spring, are thinking about their gardens. What would be the advice of the National Audubon Society about what to put in there?
Well, we have a program called Plants for Birds, which promotes and encourages people to use native plants if they're doing any planting. And the reason for that is because native plants are better for birds for a number of reasons, principally because they provide the resources that our birds need. And one of the most important resources is insects, which is something people may not think of off the bat, but native plants host our native insects, which are incredibly important to birds when they're feeding their babies. Native birds need literally thousands of, generally caterpillars, we're talking when I'm talking about insects, to feed their young. And native plants, because they've co-evolved with those native insects, are incredibly good hosts for them and can help provide that food, which is crucial to getting a chick to fledging. So it can really help our native birds if people plant native plants.
So why is this important, especially for urban areas like the Chicago area, to have these plants and to make sure there are resting places for these birds?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Chicago is right in the middle of what we call the Mississippi Flyway, which is a flyway that a lot of birds use to migrate through from their wintering grounds to their breeding grounds up north. So we'll be seeing them in Chicago before too long. And like you say, when the birds are resting, refueling, and everything, they need this food, and they need to have it, you know, relatively quickly. Native plants have that ability to host those native insects and can provide so much food, and it's really important in a place like Chicago, which has, you know, a pretty dense urban matrix. Birds are still traveling through and using that area, and native plants can really help. And data show that even small patches of area that have native plants in them can really be beneficial for birds.
For anybody who gets up early in the morning like we do here in the opening bell and we drive into the city, we see the city towers, their lights are dimmed or off completely. The Hancock Building, they turn off most of the lights in that building. And that's what, because the birds are flying through there, isn't it?
Absolutely. So many of our birds migrate at night and actually have the ability to use the moon and the stars for navigation. So light is a really important cue for them. So artificial lights can be very distracting and can cause them harm, cause them to, you know, hit the buildings. And so by actually dimming the lights, that's actually a really helpful thing to help birds get on their migratory journey more safely.
We were talking a lot about what consumers can do with their gardens, but how are businesses doing in treating birds well or not?
Well, that depends. You know, certainly some are. You've mentioned some that, you know, dim their lights, which is really helpful. There's certainly businesses that do native plant landscaping when they think about their corporate campuses. All of that is really helpful, you know, just to be thinking, to be mindful of what's going on in the environment and what's going on with birds as they're going about their business. And there's certainly ways to do both very effectively.
Dr. Roden, hang on with us. We're going to take a real quick break here and be back with more with Dr. John Roden, Director of the National Audubon Society. We're going to be talking more about their new program to get native plants in your gardens and yards and the impact of climate change on birds coming up on the opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks are expected to open in positive territory, investors anticipating a rate hike as the Federal Reserve continues its two-day monetary policy meeting. Hundreds of thousands of customers who booked travel plans through Orbitz may have had their information stolen. The company now says an older system used in 2016 and 17 may have been hacked. Data on 880,000 credit cards at risk. Talks to take Nordstrom private have fallen apart. The board of directors say the offer from members of the founding Nordstrom family was just too low. FedEx says strong shipping and recent tax law changes helped boost its profits this past quarter. The company says its earnings were just over $2 billion in December through February. And if you have an idea for the next great coffee cup, you could take home $10 million. Starbucks launching a challenge to create an eco-friendly disposable cup. The big challenge may be figuring out how to create a lining for the cup that can break down. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Dr. John Roden, Director of the National Audubon Society. This is the first full day of spring. A lot of gardeners thinking about getting out in their gardens. The Audubon Society's launched a new program called Plants for Birds. to get more native plants in your gardens for those birds. Dr. Roden, I'm on your website this morning, and it's pretty cool. You can actually put in a zip code, and it returns the plants that might be native to your specific garden.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to do everything we can to encourage and empower people to put native plants in the ground. So like you said, we have a database on our website, audubon.org, which if you put in your zip code, it will give you the native plants local to your area, the birds that will be supported by those plants, and then we'll connect you through to your local Audubon. So in Chicago, you have Audubon Great Lakes, which is a fantastic resource, as well as retailers that carry native plants in your area. So just we wanted to create a sort of a one-stop where you can put in just your zip code and you can get a wealth of information and get connected to resources that will help you.
My neighborhood, a plum tree might bring in some wood warblers and an American pokeweed might bring in some orioles. Pretty good information. Dr. Roden, I'm wondering how climate change is impacting the birds we see on a regular basis.
Well, certainly, you know, climate change is the major threat to North American bird species. We produced a climate and birds report in 2014, which indicated that about half of North American bird species are either climate threatened or endangered, meaning that they'll lose half or more of their range this century due to climate change. So it really is a major threat to birds, and certainly we want to help people to make changes that will help birds, and certainly planting native plants is one of those ways that they can actually help in their local area to help create places for birds to hopefully thrive into the future.
I often have people say to me, gee, I saw a robin early this year. I think I've seen robins all season long in Chicago, but then there are others who say, well, I haven't seen this bird in a while. What birds may have already disappeared from, let's say, the Chicago area?
Oh, that's a great question. So certainly there's been shifts all around. We're actually engaged in a community science project, which is trying to engage people to help us understand how birds are already facing and reacting to climate change. So again, you can find out about that on our website as well, audubon.org, how you can participate in that. Another opportunity will come up for that in May.
And this is another great opportunity for bird watchers, birders to get involved. I know it's already passed a little bit, isn't it? The Great Backyard Bird Count?
Absolutely. That happens every February on President's Day weekend. So certainly keep an eye out for that next February. People can participate in that. We really encourage that as well.
Yesterday, I was watching a few of the people I know are birders on Twitter. We had a snowy owl on the lakefront here in Chicago. It's pretty cool to be a bird watcher, isn't it?
I think
that's
so.
That's a trick question.
Birds bring so much joy to our lives, and you know, just getting out and actually seeing, you know, things like the snowy owl or just common birds like robins, it's really, really an amazing opportunity to get a window into a totally different species and a group of animals.
Again, the program is called Plants for Birds. You can find out more at audubon.org. Dr. Roden, have I missed anything?
No, I would just encourage everybody, you know, you don't need necessarily a big yard to actually plant native plants. If you have an apartment or a balcony or a fire escape or any of that, just even putting a container out there with native plants, insects will find it, birds will find it, and, you know, everybody everywhere can participate.
All right. Have a great spring, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Dr. John Roden is director of the National Audubon Society. Again, it's called Plants for Birds. And you can find more at audubon.org/plants-for-birds.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. If you want to make the most from your VC investment, bet on Chicago startups. That's the takeaway from a new PitchBook report that says Chicago is the best city for VC returns. Chicago companies gave investors an 8.5x return, according to the report, which beat out Seattle and New York for the top spot in the U.S. Chicago-based Orbis disclosed a data breach Tuesday that affected around 880,000 customer payment cards. The travel tech company said that a hacker may have accessed customer data late last year, and it's working to notify those who may be affected. And Kemet Worldwide is a subscription box service that caters to customers with a curiosity for African cuisines. The company offers ingredients for dishes like Nigerian pepper soup and West African jollof rice, and it charges $35 per box. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. We continue to see wage growth underwhelming all of us in jobs reports month after month, and there may be a factor involving baby boom retirements. The number of baby boomers leaving the workforce could be impacting average pay growth. Steve Goldstein is a writer at MarketWatch.com and is with us this morning. Steve, you've been writing about this, so what have you found?
Yeah, so the issue is that as people talked about, the baby boomers are starting to exit the workforce, and really in big numbers. And that's having a big impact when it comes to calculating, well, what are the average wages of U.S. workers? So, of course, as you age, your wages tend to increase. So if there's a big group of people who are now retiring, that's going to push the average rate down. And indeed, we've seen that during this economic cycle that the average rate of pay has been pretty meager. Depending which number you're using, about 2.5% or so. And typically, in times of economic growth, you get growth in the area of about 3% to 4% a year. And so when we're trying to figure out why it is that companies are out there saying, well, we're having to start increasing pay, but we're not seeing it in the data, this could be an important reason why.
So let me try to tear that apart a little bit. So basically, you have older workers leaving the job force for retirements, and the idea is you pay the millennials who are taking over a little bit less.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much your prime pay. You know, the best pay is actually, I think, in maybe the 45 to 54-year-old range. But generally, you know, new workers get less than the older workers who are retiring. And, you know, because of experience and the different skills that people acquire as they progress in the job force. And so it's kind of a natural shift that's going. And I think it's one that, you know, people have talked about, but I don't think it's one maybe prominent in the current discussion about what's going on in the economy. And I think it's having a real impact when we look at the numbers.
In your MarketWatch.com story, you write the median weekly earnings of 55 to 64-year-olds is about 28% higher than 25 to 34-year-olds. So I guess the logical question after that would be, how quickly can the pay increase for that other group that's still in the workforce? Are we talking 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, look, the baby boom generation is probably another, roughly another 10 years or so of this. Now, granted, what should happen logically is that as there will be less competition for existing jobs, that should naturally increase pay. Just there are going to be fewer people out there unless we have a big change in our immigration situation, which certainly policymakers are saying there won't be. So unless there's a big shift in immigration, you would expect there to be less competition for jobs, for workers, and you would expect as a result companies would have to start increasing pay. So at some point that's likely to happen. We haven't really seen it yet, however. So what we are seeing, though, is the impact of people leaving the workforce in terms of average pay. But we haven't yet seen, except for maybe a couple industries, this sort of tight workforce where companies are forced to aggressively increase pay.
Yeah, this would explain a lot, I think, with I know we've had this conversation on the program before about what is at play here. This certainly would be an easy answer to that, but it may not be the only answer. I know your story talks about the San Francisco Fed study of this issue, and they found there were maybe some other reasons for this lack of pay growth.
Well, I mean, part of it, the recession still, we're still kind of feeling the effects of that. And as there's more and more time outside of the recession, as the economy has improved, people who were out of the workforce are starting to come back in. And when you do that, the people who come back into the workforce, it's kind of obvious, they're going to take low-wage pay jobs because they're probably, you know, you're not going to jump back into a great job. You're probably going to jump back into more of a starting type position. So that's another important factor. And one thing I didn't write about in this particular story is we're starting to see a reduced number of people on disability. And again, that's usually a sign that people are re-entering the workforce, that they decide maybe that the injuries that they've had are not, you know, they whether they're real or not, that it's worth it to go back into the workforce because the economy is improving and there's a position where they can, you know, make, you know, better money by working.
Steve, I'm curious, do you think this, like if we see a couple more jobs reports come out and this pay issue stays about the same, do you think that'll kind of be a sign that maybe some of this that you've reported is actually the true reason for this?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, the issue about the sort of the stagnant pay has kind of been there for the last couple of years. It's been such a slow increase that, you know, people are wondering about it. You know, when are we really going to see pay rises? And I think it is something that maybe, you know, we'll get more attention if we continue to get, you know, a possibility of an unemployment rate below 4%. You would think that would finally put some real pressure on wages, upward pressure. And that's really going to be a key question going forward.
You know, as we have this conversation right now, I'm thinking of the times over the past couple of years we've told our audience that as the labor force, as jobs become, it becomes the job market becomes more tight, you should negotiate for a higher salary or leave and go find a better job. Boy, I'm thinking whether or not that was good advice or not.
Well, I mean, I do think that's generally good advice, but the question is, well, you know, just how much will it pay off? And I think so far the answer is, well, I mean, it might pay off a little bit, but the extent to which it'll pay off, you know, you really do have to wonder. And you actually touch on a really good point, though. Goes to another statistic that we track, which is job openings, and they are very high. In fact, I think last month they hit a new record. But what's called the quits rate, which is exactly what you're talking about, people leaving their job, often to find a new one, it has, you know, come up tremendously from where it was during the recession, but it's still maybe not very high. So there's still, workers still aren't incredibly confident, particularly when you compare it to the unemployment rate. So there isn't, you know, a big section of the population that's saying, you know, hey, I can go jump and find another job. They're not really, they're not doing that.
And I'm also thinking about those 25 to 34-year-olds out there that are expecting eventually to take the place of the baby boomers with higher pay. I'm wondering if that pay is going to be as high as it was for the baby boomers.
Yeah, that's another million-dollar question. I think a lot of it will depend on, you know, what field and how, you know, what kind of new jobs the economy produces as it expands. I do think that the people graduating college now are entering a much better jobs market than the one even maybe 5 years ago. You hear a lot fewer stories these days of, you know, the baristas with advanced degrees. I think that's a lot less of a situation than it is now. I think companies are being a bit more aggressive recruiting these younger workers. So certainly it's a lot better environment now for those graduating from school or graduate school, what have you. But the overall pay is maybe not as rip-roaring hot as, you know, maybe some other economic expansions.
Steve, good information, good conversation. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Steve Goldstein is the Washington Bureau Chief for MarketWatch. You can follow him on Twitter at MKTWGoldstein, and make sure you read all of his stuff over at MarketWatch.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Just before we hit the Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, some breaking news. The European Union has approved Bayer's buyout of Monsanto in a massive agriculture business deal. The deal will have to shed some $7.4 billion in firms and other remedies to ensure a fair competition in the market, according to the agreement with the EU Antitrust Commissioner. The deal is about $57 billion in general cost, $9 billion in debt. Monsanto in September accepted the offer from Bayer. It's just now being approved again by the European Union. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are flat now as we head toward the opening bell. NASDAQ futures are down about 18 points. Dow and S&P futures are flat. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. I think we made it through National Agriculture Day without markets totally collapsing and agriculture getting, I hope, a lot of attention across the country. Cattle prices, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, moved to the fourth straight day of declining prices. Rich Nelson with Allendale in McHenry said, "We are preparing for an ugly second quarter in the cattle market. We're preparing for huge supplies. Cash is ready to start breaking." And of course, we do get another cattle on feed report this Friday, and they're expecting bigger numbers once again. With the bigger numbers that came a month ago apparently are going to be even bigger this time. As far as the grain market is concerned, a slight increase in wheat prices, corn slightly lower, and soybeans up 4¾ cents in the July contract yesterday. International news, Russia in the month of January, certainly back in the wheat export market, exporting 2.5 million tons in January. That's up from 1.9 million tons of wheat exports a year ago. And as we look at the market here, tough to say what's going to happen between now and the end of March when we get the planting intentions report. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Just a couple of more stories before we leave you this morning. Tax reduction and higher rates and strength in its ground shipping business helped boost FedEx profit during a stellar holiday shipping season. The delivery company raising its forecast for the rest of the year as well. FedEx Corporation said yesterday it earned $2.07 billion in the December through February quarter, up from $562 million a year earlier. A Delaware bankruptcy judge has issued initial orders allowing the Weinstein Company to continue paying its bills and working toward a sale of substantially all of its assets. The rulings include interim approval for the company to borrow up to $25 million to see it through bankruptcy. The company has also voided all of the non-disclosure agreements that were brought against the former chair, Harvey Weinstein.
You remember the sexual misconduct scandal that brought the co-founder of the company down, triggered a nationwide movement to address predatory sexual behavior and harassment in the workplace. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, March the 21st. A lot on the calendar this morning. We begin with the MBA mortgage applications. The Mortgage Bankers Association will report on the percentage of mortgage applications coming across desks across the country. Also today, the EIA petroleum status report is due out. The Commerce Department will release the current account trade measure for the fourth quarter. The National Association of Realtors will release existing home sales for February. And it is interest rate day. The Federal Reserve is setting up interest rates today. We expect a statement and projections at 1 o'clock Chicago time. And then the first press conference of the new Fed chair will begin at about 1:30 Chicago time today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, March the 21st.